Chapter 4. I want to begin with verse 1. What then shall we say? Our father Abraham to have found according to flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has a boast, but not with God. For what does Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to one working, the reward is not counted according to grace, but is according to debt. We're owed a wage for doing something. But to the one not working, but believing on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Hallelujah. This was the one thing in history after the book of Pentecost, after the Gospels, after the epistles were written, that changed the world. It made the modern world. We don't live in the modern world. We live in a godless, anti-Christian, Laodicean world, post-Christian, post-modern. During the modern world, this discovery was made that Jesus Christ, not works of the law. Jesus Christ, not works of the law, is all that we need for righteousness. And it's written in this book, the Bible. The Bible is the written word of God, but it's not the word of God. It is the written word of God, but Jesus is the living word of God. So they are the same, but they're not the same. And every time you read word of God, you must ask yourself, which word of God? You don't pray to the Bible. You pray to Jesus. Because Jesus is your Savior, your Lord, your bridegroom. That covers the threefold atonement. Those three. It's always threefold, Old Testament and New Testament. So this covenant or sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice. And you remember in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, verse 8, it said, "My son, God himself will provide the definite article, the sacrifice for a burnt offering." In other words, not your son, not anyone's son, not anyone can work your way into heaven. It's impossible. Since God himself provides what you owe, he's paid your debt. Now you owe God nothing. That's good. That's very good. That's the goodness of God. Because first of all, no one is perfect. But Jesus is. So it's the perfect sacrifice. So what he did not do for himself. He's not in heaven because he obeyed the law. He's in heaven because he followed God's word. That I want this to be a free gift. No wages paid. No merits, no good works that any man can do. You do good the good work for all mankind. The wicked, the ungodly, those that have sinned deliberately, consciously, knowingly, because they hate my law. They hate the fact that I've written a law. However, they hated me without a cause. There is no cause, because the law wasn't for you. It wasn't for mankind. No one ever has been perfect and was able to fulfill this law except one, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Son of man, Son of God. He never ceased to be Son of God. He just simply changed the form. Morphe. He changed the form. So he came in the form. It was real. But he came in the form of a servant. He came in the form of the suffering servant. He came in the form of one like us. Paid the price. You've been purchased with a price. Everyone here who believes in this Bible, this written word of God, you believe in the only thing that you can see in this world that is true. There's nothing else you can see in this world except this. All the works of Catholicism, all the works of Judaism, all the works of Buddhists and Hindus, atheists and agnostics means nothing. This word is all you see. It's by faith alone. Sola fide. Sola gratia. Solus Christus. So, sola scriptura. Only scripture alone. This is all you can see of heaven. This came from heaven. The Holy Spirit wrote it. It wasn't written by man. Men were the amnesis, that is, they are the ones that the angel of the Lord dictated it to, but they wrote down in their own way, inspired by the Holy Spirit who wrote it. This is his book. This book is your hope. This book is your life. This book is your joy. This book is everything you've ever wanted and needed. Whatever God required of you is now supplied by this book. If you don't read this book, you will never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot. So this book is the Word of God, but it's the written Word of God, which then houses, which is the swaddling cloths of the baby Jesus. This is the way you meet Jesus and have an experience with him. So that you can actually hear God and know God and love God and serve God. Faith active in love. They're different. The faith is faith in this promise, in this word. The love comes and goes. Our love is never perfect. That's why it's by faith. It's by faith because you cannot see it. The Catholic Church was a visible church. The Pope, the teaching magisterium, everything was an altar, everything was a pew, everything was external. Nothing was internal. It did not reach the heart of man. Only this word, sola fide, only faith, faith alone. This is all you have to see. You'll see nothing else in this world. And you see this until Jesus comes back. He is due to come back any time now. 5 years from now, 10 years, 15, 20, 30. Doesn't matter. He hasn't told us when. You just know the season. This word is all you have. That's why people don't read this word. Meditate on it night and day. Because this word is the only thing you have from heaven. This was not written by man. This is God's word. And as you meditate and chew on this word, without any personal interest, except he said, this is my word, read it. Faith cometh by hearing. If you read this word, it'll change your life. But it doesn't change your life. But the one it's referring to, Jesus, changes your life. He's the one that not only justifies you, sanctifies you, glorifies you, marries you, gives you the inheritance, eternal life. All of this comes from Jesus Christ. This word is a testimony for you to know Jesus Christ. If you read this word because you're trying to find life, you won't. This word is not life. Jesus is the life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The joy, it's in Jesus. The hope, it's in Jesus. Everything you've ever wanted that's good is in this word. This word refers to the other word. The living word is referred to by the written word. Now, if you find Jesus apart from this, you haven't found him. If you're into superstition, you're into Catholicism. You're into Judaism. You're into the Muslim religion. You're into Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, on and on and on. All religions, philosophies of this world are worthless. This is the only thing you can see. And he deliberately wrote this word because it looks to us like nothing. This looks to us like just a bunch of letters on a page. The letter of the law, these are the letters, the letter of the law, black on the page, killeth your flesh. Killeth your flesh. So the letter on the Lord, the harsh judgment of God, hates sin and has to punish it. That's why Jesus died. You didn't pay for it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. You can't make yourself believe it. That's a gift too. You can't make yourself repent. That's a gift too. Everything God wants from you is nothing. He created you, and he's the one that will redeem you, and he's the one that will cleanse you, and he's the one that will perfect you, and he's the one that will marry you, and he's the one that doeth everything for you because you're imperfect. He created you that way deliberately so that you would rely in history, in the time that we're here, you would rely on this word alone. Old Testament, New Testament, all the way back before even Abraham, all the way back to the beginning of time. So this word is not only here in the written word, it's also written on your heart by the finger of God. By the finger of God, this index finger, that on the right hand, always on the right hand, is the word of hope, salvation, goodness, truth, blessing. This word testifies to that about Jesus, who didn't come for 4,000 years. That was 2,000 years ago. Now we're in the last days, the day of Laodicea, a lukewarm church. Do not be shocked or surprised as though something wondrous was happening to you. The lawlessness today is predicted in the Bible. The church today is lukewarm. The church today, even in our church, it's lukewarm. People know that there's truth in here, but it isn't in here. Jesus is the truth. It's a person. This word testifies to that truth. And it's written, every word that Jesus spoke to Abraham, Moses, and all of the saints in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament, it's all here. Cannot add to it, cannot subtract from it. So this word, the white page, dominates the black letters. They're inside the letters, they're between the lines, they border it. So the white fire always triumphs, rejoices against judgment. So even though God judged you, he postponed that judgment because he's a good God. So the goodness of the Lord, tov in Hebrew, the goodness of the Lord leadeth you to repentance. So it's only the goodness and His grace and His mercy and His power. Those are all gifts of God that God, because He created you, He now supplies you over time. These do not come from earth. Everything in here does not come from this earth. So this is all you have. Martin Luther changed the whole Roman Catholic Church forever. Forever. Because he said, I'm not attacking the theology. I'm not attacking the life. I'm not attacking the whoremongering. I'm not attacking the filthiness of the church. I'm attacking its theology. Because this word is all you have. Now, we Protestants don't appreciate this word, but it's all you have. You don't see anything else. Everything else is unseen. Everything this word refers to is from heaven above. There's nothing here on earth beneath. This world will pass away, but this word will not pass away. I exalt my word, God says, in this word, above my name. So the name of God is high, but this word is for you. This word is for you to read this book over and over and over and over and over and meditate on it. Why? Just by reading it objectively. You don't read it for a purpose. Just read it because He said to read it. So when you read it, it's good news. According not to the letter which killeth your flesh, which Jesus does for you, but for the Spirit of the living God, so that you now receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who wrote this entire book, Old Testament and New Testament? He wrote this for your happiness now, not for later. Actually, now you can actually hear God. You can actually know God. We just served communion, which was eating and drinking of Jesus, which is the antidote to eating and drinking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which you're not supposed to eat of, because your mind cannot comprehend God. Your will cannot comprehend God. Your emotions cannot comprehend God. Nothing on this earth can comprehend God. So you need this revealed word to share the heart of God, not just the hand of God, the heart of God. This word is your life. Everything in here is your joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control. All of it's in here. All those fruits of the Spirit are nothing but the living Christ. Those fruits are not your fruits. When you do good fruits, which you will do, when you do good fruits, you didn't do them. He did them. So to God be the glory. To God be the glory. That's why we worship God. Thank you for doing everything. I praise you for being everything, and I adore you because I am your bride, and you're coming to marry me. The last thing. The last thing. He's coming back this time, not just to punish the wicked, but He's coming back to deliver us from all wickedness forever. Happy are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The wedding of the Lamb, and we're the bride, hath made us ready. I know what it says in the Bible about you making yourself ready. It's not talking about you. It's talking about Jesus in you, you. Jesus did all that. He loved the Lord your God with all His heart and soul and strength for you. You don't have to do it. It's done. He loves your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to do it. It's done. You have to believe. You have to believe what this word says. You cannot now pay God. You cannot now pay the price He paid. You can only receive it, deliver it, and I'm going to surprise you, be happy. One of the ways you can tell someone's a Christian is they're miserable. Yeah, they're miserable. Because they feel like they're under a law or under some kind of oppression. God has never been a tyrant. He never could be. He's always joyful. God is always joyful because the heart of God has never hated anybody at any time. He's always been gracious. He's always been tender, merciful. He's always been full of power, not to use it against you, not to use it against you, but to set you free. The Son of Man died. He died for you so that you could live. But you have to have faith. If you don't take delivery through faith, in other words, it's here, it's promised. Everything in the Bible is a promise. There's no law in the Bible. The letter of the law killeth your flesh, but Jesus did that. But it gives life because the spirit of the law, the spirit of life in the law, has set you free. That's the light that came into the world when Jesus came into the world. That's the light. Jerusalem, I just come back from Jerusalem. It's translated this way in Hebrew. God is the light that brings you peace. That's Jerusalem. Yah, O-R, is light. God is the light that brings you peace. Peace with God, not peace with man. Peace with God, not peace with man. It's not your love. It's not your love to the neighbor. This is just God with you wants you to have his peace. Grace and peace, the Bible says. Grace and peace. Why? Because it's gracious of God. You didn't ask for it. He just gives it to you. It's a free gift. There's no wage paid. It's a free gift because what Jesus did on the cross. Now you've been forgiven. There's nothing you can do now to help out. You can't cooperate. There's no way you can cooperate with God or kind of work as a cooperative person. No, you're dead. The reason Jesus died is so you would be dead to this world and alive to the unseen world that you have not yet seen. No one here has seen the unseen world. It's completely a gift of God. So everything ahead of you is a glory you have never beheld except by faith. The minute he comes back, it doth not yet appear. It doesn't appear here in this world. This is all that appears. Nothing but this. That's why the neglect of it is a surprise to God. That so many ungodly people will not read this word for their freedom, for their peace, for their happiness. If you're not happy, you'll never be holy. If you're not happy, you'll never be holy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, it's based upon this word, speaking of this word that died on the cross for you. That living word is your whole happiness. Whatever he did, it was for your safety, for your happiness, for your pleasure, for your benefit, for your profit, for your advantage. Everything he did is because he loves clay. Just clay. Just clay. By this word. Or. So everyone here is loved by God. Do you see it? No. Do you understand it? No. Do you want it? No. Everything in you is at enmity with God until you read this word. And it said, the enmity has been removed. God did it himself. For God himself will provide for himself the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Now there's nothing to be done. You can only celebrate happiness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, under a law, under pressure, under that you should do something to appreciate God. No, you should not. Everything's been done. Everything that Jesus did is finished. You said on the cross, it's finished. So he did everything you needed to do. The Lamb of God that takes away has taken away. It's not only forgiven you, but it's also cleansing you from all unrighteousness. It's also perfecting you so that your love is perfect. And it's also making you the bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such blemish or stain or anything that would forever and ever be against you. God is always for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's impossible. It's impossible. This word is so good. I can't imagine reading this word night and day, which I do. But if you read this word, I mean, I'm paid for it. You're reading this word, it's so exciting. It's so thrilling. I laugh. I cry. Because this word is powerful. Because it's the word of love. Everything about God is love. God has never, ever, ever been an angry judge. Catholics are wrong. The Jews are wrong. The Muslims are wrong. The Buddhists are wrong. They're all wrong. Because he's never expected you to do good. He always expected you to be helpless, dependent on him. He wanted you to be like sheep. Dumb. Foolish, ignorant, hating God for no reason at all. He wanted you to take this gift because this is something that mankind has always despised. God does not have anyone on earth that he ever created that didn't despise him because of a misunderstanding of this word. You thought God was an angry judge using all of his power and might and glory to condemn you. He only came for the ungodly. And if you're ungodly, and I think some of you are, if you're ungodly, you're pre-qualified. You qualified. Because if you're not ungodly, you don't qualify. I'm just going to tell you again. He did not come for the righteous. He came for sinners who repent. You have to be a sinner every day of your life until he comes back. Now, if you're a Christian, you're still sinning. You don't mean to, you don't want to, it doesn't matter. You will. You'll be proud, you'll be judgmental, you'll be critical of yourself, therefore critical of others. You will do every sin in the book, without exception. You don't know that, but that's what God says in this word. And you have to believe that there's no one here that's clean, that's cleaner. You're all equal. We're all equal. And so that's why you can love anybody, even your enemies. Pray for your enemies, bless your enemies, forgive your enemies. Pray for your enemies, love your enemies, forgive one another. That is proof that you're a Christian. If you can do that, that not only your friends, but also your enemies, and sometimes your friends. Because God wants you to be happy all the time. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. So if I said to you, who is happy today and always have been, no one could say yes. Because you think happiness, confuse it with joy. You think happiness comes and goes. Is what he's talking about. No, it just means you're happy from time to time because you see it spiritually. But everything you see in the spirit is more real than anything in this world. So this is your life right here. This is your joy. This is your peace. This is everything you have because Jesus loves you unconditionally. So the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So anyone under a law is an unbeliever. Anyone under a law is an unbeliever. That includes everybody, but not you, because you believe this word, sola scriptura, sola gratia, solus Christus, only this word. That's all. The only way you can know about God is through this word. Now, many of you don't read it on a daily basis, or even a weekly basis, or even on an annual basis. So, it's okay. You don't read it. You're just taking advantage of God's patience, His kindness. But God someday will come back, and He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." How will He say it? Not because you made an effort, because you didn't make an effort. You just simply were yourself. That's all He's ever wanted. If He created you, let Him supply what He demands. If He demands something, it's something that He'll supply. He has never asked anybody to do anything. He cannot. This is the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. It covers the whole Bible. So, for us, the Jewish people wrote the first three quarters of the Bible. But it's the last quarter which is the key to the first three quarters. Because under the first quarter, the Jews tried to keep the law of Moses, but they failed. And anyone under a law, nothing can be perfect by a law, because a law is force. For a law to be a law, you have to enforce it. If it's forced, no one can do it. You'll be a hypocrite or a liar. You'll be a hypocrite or a liar. So what God wants is to set you free forever. This body and blood is the thing you need to eat and drink, because it sets you free, so that you know this Bible is my happiness, my joy, my peace, my everything, not only with God, which He gives freely, but also with man. So the end of the law is love your neighbor as yourself. The beginning of the law is worship God with all your heart, all your soul, and all of your strength. Love Him with everything you have. Jesus did that for you. He did all of that. So you don't have to love your neighbor by sight. You love your neighbor by faith. So no one here has loved anybody at any time. You don't even have love in you. Not God's love. And God only judges you by His love. This is the standard. Either it's man is the measure of all things, as the humanist Renaissance Enlightenment ancestors have said, or God is the measure of all things. Martin Luther changed forever the Church of Jesus Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. So, in these last days, there'll be a tribulation, and most of the Jews will be slaughtered. You might think that's bad news, but God, who knoweth all things, knows that most of them are still clinging to the security of this world. They want to be secure in this world. You and I don't. I want the certainty of this world, the certainty of this word, to be greater than the security of this world. This word promises you everything without exception. It has held back nothing. No good thing will God exclude from you. All good things in the Bible are yours. There's nothing ever will be. Some will go in forward before you, some following. It doesn't matter. You will not be second rate anywhere with God. This word makes us all equal, because Jesus loves everybody. Now, that good news is so exciting, maybe we should have one or two testimonies right now. So, who would like to just make something up if you want to? Just say, "I am so incredibly happy because of the promise of the Word of God." Holly. Powerful.
This morning when he was doing the announcements, and he was talking about you can't put God on a scale, because it was talking about you have good and not good. What kept running through my mind is He is a scale. Mm-hmm. That's why you'd have to compare Him to Himself.
Everything. Yeah, he is everything. The Bible says he's my all in all, meaning everything I've ever wanted and needed, he's supplied. So he cannot ever demand anything from any human being, ever. And you cannot ever say he did, though the Bible appeareth to say so through its laws. Natural law, human law, all kinds of laws. Those are all gifts of God. But you have to read them by a higher law jurisprudence. You have to read them by the spirit of the law, not by the letter of the law, which killeth. If you read them wrong, and everybody wants to, if you read them wrong, then there's no life, there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's God's peace. He's talking about his peace he gives to you. Now you have peace. Just read it. Don't understand it. Don't want it. Don't feel it. It's just true. How do you know? Because you don't see anything except this word. And God doesn't want you to see anything. He does want no security for this word. This word just bare. Just sitting there, objective, out of this world. It came into this world. This is God. Didn't come by nature. He replaced nature. You're not any longer a Gentile or a Jew. You are now a new creation, brand new. Kine katesis, a new creation. And that word for kine is not just naos, new, but it's new of a qualitatively different kind than anything else that ever was in existence. It's not natural. It's not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because you believed it? No, the believing doesn't make it. It's the promise. It's the promise that makes it. And believing just takes deliverance. It says, I believe that. And you cannot do that without an experience. You have to have an experience from the living God. So you can believe it with head knowledge, fides historica. You can believe it with head knowledge, but head knowledge is not Christianity. This is Christianity that God actually, as you read it, faith cometh by hearing, it actually, something happens inside of you, and you know that you know that you know. That's the truth. That's the truth that has set me free. That's the peace of God that he gave to me forever and ever and ever. So this word is so powerful. You have to be ungodly, as I say, because many of you are troubled by your sins. Don't be. God has already taken care of it long before you were born. Before the foundation of the world, he already paid for all of this. Jesus Christ was not crucified on Calvary. That's just when you saw it. He was crucified before the foundation of the world, before there ever was a world. This world did not exist. Prior to that, the foundation of the foundations of this earth are in Jesus Christ. So he was the first one that was laid down by God the Father to prove his love for you, unconditional love. We have access to that. What a joy, what a power, what a strength that is, that you live by this, and no one can do it except you. You're the only one that can read it. That's why Sunday school is worthless. Everything is worthless unless you're reading this word. And I know that we like to have interesting stories and parables and so on, but parables don't save you. Stories won't save you. Allegories won't save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. That blood is the only thing that proved, that probated the will, the last will and testament, the will of Jesus. It went into effect immediately because the temple, in the temple, something you can see, the curtain was torn in two from the top, way, way bigger than this top right here. It's more 20, 30 feet, maybe more. It was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. Now, first of all, that curtain is so thick that no human hand could do it. And the high priest was there, and he went in and saw with his own eyes. That thing was rent in two, proving that Jesus' blood was efficacious. The effect that intended by God took place. So the perspicacity, the clarity of this word is written for you. It's not written for somebody else. It's written for you. It's written in your language. And that's why a translation of this book is taking place in every world, every part of the world. There are thousands of languages that haven't yet been in their own language. Maybe they have Spanish or Italian or whatever. But it has to be written in so that everyone can read this word in their own language, because it can be translated. But it has to be translated the way I just said. It has to be translated in the way that you know the only purpose of this word is to save you forever. That means you're forgiven for all your sins by the cross. Then you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. That means all. That means you don't have any unrighteousness in you. And that same blood not only does those two things, it also then purifies yourself as he is pure, perfects you in love. So now you have perfect love before Jesus comes back, before. So that on earth, men see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. They see the unseen in your seeing. They can see you, but they don't give you the glory. They know, I heard God. When you spoke, I heard God. Anybody. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. The harvest is ripe. So, let's have a testimony. We had one. Let's have another one. We had two. I guess we had two. David. Yeah, it's good. Another. It's powerful. This is good. It's a public witness to the fact that this word is what made the world. And it's now the attempt is made to destroy it. Won't happen. It'll never happen. It's not going to happen. Yes.
I'm reading that Luther biography very slowly.
Yes.
And just Luther's emphasis on the unseen.
Yes.
And how that created the modern world.
Yes.
How that's in contrast to, like, I was flipping through Netflix and I saw this show. It's actually really fascinating. It's talking about the geniuses in the modern world.
Yes.
And it's got, Marx and
Nietzsche. Right.
You know, they wrote all these things that it's all about the seen world.
Right.
And they did. Their ideas impacted the seen world.
Yes.
All that hiddenness and
right.
all the power of
right.
the unseen world, what I'm hearing you say today.
Yes, you're correct.
That's what Luther was discovering.
Exactly.
And that's where the magic happens. You know,
right.
That's where the power is.
Right.
The unseen world.
Unseen world. The unseen world, no one sees who isn't born again.
Yeah.
No one can see that except us. That's why you're the light. The O-R that I said in Hebrew, that God's O-R, that is his light, enlightens every man that comes into the world through Jesus Christ.
The power of that is what you were saying. The unseen world, to me, is who we are. In other words, it is who he is, but if we are in him, the reason we do the things we do and the reason that we strive towards him
right.
is only because of the unseen world.
Right.
The more we do that, like you said, getting in the word, building our faith, it is because of
right.
becoming more of the unseen world, and that's where the power is.
Yeah.
That's where the strength
yeah.
is.
That's where it is.
The real love
yeah.
love is.
So right.
It's really strive for the unseen.
Right. So you read this objectively, meaning don't do it personally, like, I'm going to get this and I'll get a revelation. You're not going to get it. It'll be hidden from you. You can look for happiness in the word, you won't see it. It's written. Just read it and believe it. How do you do it? You can't. Only God can cause you to believe it when you read it. That's an experience, by the way. That's an experience that he's going to show you your sin, which is something you don't want to look at. But God, what happened through Martin Luther, just this one man? I don't really defend all the other reformed people and so on and so forth. But this one man, and there's no sin in the book of Revelation about any other church except the Philadelphia church. There's no sin in that church. That took place exactly when Martin Luther got a hold of the Greek New Testament, which all of your translations today, except for the original King James, and even that text is also skewed. This is the literal Textus Receptus. All of that gives you your life. And if you misread it or read it wrong, you'll just fall into the world system of law. Law will never perfect anybody. So that's what all of these persons he's talking about, Machiavelli, all these people, I've read their works. Their works are worthless. So all of the people that you go to school to learn, getting a liberal arts degree, they're worthless. They're worthless. Only this. Now, will there be a day on earth when men will only live by this word? Yes. You'll see it. You'll see it. Some of you are alive. You'll see it. I don't know if I will be, but some of you are alive. And you'll see it. By the way, I precede you if I do die. And by the way, I want to pray for our brother, Greg Antoine. He's in a life-death situation right now. They have not, I've gone several times, but he has not yet, they haven't called us yet to say we've written him and so on and so forth. So we know it's no news, maybe good news. I think if he had perished, but he is in a life-death. He has a clot on his brain, and it's death. If they operated on him, he'd die. So there's nothing they can do. So only prayer. There's nothing they can do. And so let's pray for him right now, Danny.
Father, we just thank you that for Greg. What a blessing he has been to all of us, to his family, to us. Every time we see him, we just see Jesus, joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you heal him. Father, we just believe that you promised. Lord, if we pray, that you would do whatever we say. It's in your word. Like Jim said, it's in your word. It's eternal. Those things that we see are just temporal. But the unseen things, those are eternal. And we don't see everything, but we read it and we trust it and we believe you, God, that you are a good, good God. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So either way, Greg's going to win. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for that, because we don't look at the things that are seen. But Father, we just know that we need Greg. His family does. Yes. So we just thank you, Father, that you keep him here. Mm-hmm. And totally, totally, totally heal him, Father.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. I was just there last night, Lord, and I just saw the peace and the joy in the family. It is amazing. Because they're looking at They're looking at things that are not seen. Everybody else is looking at seen things.
Yes.
But they know, ha, we have a good God. We have a Father in heaven, and he's at work. He does all the work. He does all the everything we have in this world that Greg has, that his family has. It's just a gift. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We love you.
Amen. Closing. The thing that made Luther famous or infamous was faith, not true. The faith is completely predicated, grounded on something much bigger. That is the promise of God, what's written in this book. And he had a new picture of God that for over 1,000 years, much more than 1,000 years from the beginning, no one had, that God was not an angry judge that wanted to convict sinners and then destroy them, which many of you probably have that idea that God's going to destroy the wicked and then just save the wicked, the righteous. But that's not the issue. This is the issue. Is he saw God having two choices. The word judgment, something that a judge judges to punish somebody for doing wrong. The word judgment has been changed by him so that instead of it being a judge that sees the ungodly and says, I want that one to be punished and to perish. Luther changed that by saying, no, there's another way a judge could judge, and that is, don't throw the whole book at him. Just be lenient. Be kind. So the judge could actually, and any judge can do this, say, I want to postpone the judgment of God because under the law, you're guilty. But if I postpone your judgment until you had time to ameliorate your life, to improve your life, to come up with something new, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because mercy rejoices against judgment. James 2:13. So since that's the case, and since God is goodness, he said, let's look at God as a loving Father. There's nothing that proves this. It's just the written word. Let's read the Bible for what it really says, the literal sense of it. Literal doesn't mean what you think it means, but it means what the words actually say. But let's read them by the unseen world of what this Bible is saying about the goodness of God, about the grace of God, about the mercy of God. If you ever look at God's holiness, you'll be discouraged. Unless it's coupled with his mercy according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you have seen God's true holiness is not how he punishes, but how he sets free and blesses everybody. He doesn't have any enemies. He's never been angry at anyone. So he gave a new picture of God that no one had had for over 1,000 years in Christianity since it began. Because by the end of the first century, heresies already began to arise. In fact, it even happened before that. And Christians were no longer able to suffer. They didn't want to. They were tired of all the persecutions and the hatred. Unless you see the crown in the midst of the cross, you've missed God. You don't see it, but you have to see with unseen eyes that that cross behind the manger, that cross has a crown in it. Not the crown of thorns, but see through the crown of thorns to a real crown in heaven above. Unless you see that all the problems in your life are actually blessings. Unless you see the unseen in the seen, you'll be deceived. You have to see that you don't get a crown without going through the cross. So the cross is what's seen, but the crown is what the righteous see in the Spirit. So, how many problems do you have? You're blessed. How many problems do you have? You're blessed. You can have all the problems you want. They're all designed by God to bring you to faith. Every one of those is designed by God. So If your marriage is on the rocks, too bad, because there's a blessing there.
Yeah.
Don't abandon what you have. It's right there because of this word. The unseen is what holds everything together. And if you let it go, you've let everything go. Mm-hmm. There's no fear in that. There's love in that. So I don't do what I used to want to do. I now want to do what I ought to do, which is to obey God. And I want to do it. I want to do it. But it had to kill your natural life. It had to kill your selfish, self-oriented thing. And so now life is a joy because of that. And that's intended by God. God wants you to have joy on this earth, pleasure on this earth. Nothing good can be withheld from those who walk uprightly. We all walk uprightly by faith. Someday you'll see it. Then you'll know that you know that you know. So the best has been saved to the last. Anyone else want to have one final word? Encourage me. Yes, Suzanne. Right.
Anyway, so when he was, I think it was his 45th birthday, we went to eat when they lived on with the Eastlands, and we were all to bring some a verse and some, you know, his gift. It was his prize. And we took mom's and a verse, but with the word today, I think it means so much. And his was the flower withereth, the flower froweth, the flower withereth, the flower fadeth, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord, our God, shall. And then before that, it says, "In the glory of the Lord," this is in Isaiah 40, "and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass."
Yes.
Of course, but you know, he's such a flower in our lives, but he's not meant to last forever. Mm-hmm. We are grass, but the word of the Lord that you've spoken about today, it lasts forever. And,
right.
And we know that in our spirit.
Yeah.
And the best is saved to last forever.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, I just, that was his verse for his birthday. I mentioned it before because it always means so much, but even more today with the.
Amen. It's powerful. Yeah. We're all blessed. But you can be blessed by anybody at any time. That's what a church is. It's everyone that believes in Jesus. It's everyone that has been touched by God, and we're all one. You don't have to try to be one. You already are one. It's finished. He made us all one. So we love each other without feeling it, Louise. Yeah, powerful.
Awesome.
Yes.
And I just want to share from a perspective of a loss where we, you know, our family is, in my own family, we're kind of split on this one thing. I lost a son that was very dear and precious. And you know, when you say that, you think there's a loss, but we here don't see it as a loss. We see it as a blessing. I don't know if we chose to do that. I don't know if God just did that. It was just a miracle. You know, so we have his memory. We're very thankful for him. But we don't, we grieved for a moment, but we rejoiced. It's automatically God turned it to joy. Whereas my oldest daughter just is broken and still can't, she just is having a really hard time with it. She can't come to where any of the things we used to do or any of the things he was at. So back to the unseen and also what Suzanne was saying, it's a blessing, it's a gift, but it is, just pray that God shows you what it is that we have to look forward to and what it is we have. We don't have losses like we think we have losses. You know, God does what he does in his time, and everything's a blessing. No matter how we see it, no matter how we translate it, it's his translation that matters. So it's a gift. Everything's a gift.
Everything.
Whether it looks like it's demise and destruction, it's a gift. It really just depends on how we perceive it. And I just pray, like Suzanne said, for the Antoines, that God just lifts them up and gives them joy, unspeakable joy and full of glory in season and out of season, because we only have what God's given us.
Right.
And we can only understand what God gives us understanding for in his time.
Right.
So we just want to rejoice.
Powerful.
With them. We want to pray, but we also want to rejoice with them.
Yeah. Amen. It's powerful. Yeah. And you're permitted to believe really, really high.
Yeah.
Because of the unseen world.
Yes.
There's nothing that says I want, don't even make a fancy prayer, just God heal him or do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Let it be a miracle. I don't care. Do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way we should pray. You would want to love your neighbor as you love yourself. All right. God is good.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this day. This is the day you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and there's joy in it. There's joy in it because of your word. You have given us that right. You have given us that permission that we can look to you for all things good. Nothing good could be withheld from us. We thank you, Lord God. We trust you completely. But we also trust that we are allowed to believe that all things are possible with you. And so we give you praise and look forward to the time when we'll see him again soon. Totally healed, totally well, totally able to finish the commission that you gave to him years ago. And that he'll finish up everything. In Jesus' name, we believe that. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've encouraged us to hope for all things, that they're possible in this world, not just the next. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.